is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Colorado Buffaloes getting set to take on Oregon State, number 16, the Oregon State Beavers. Big game coming up for Colorado. Joining us now, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, we got a little news this morning. There's a change on the offensive side of the football for this Buffaloes team.
Well, a lot of reports out there, huh? Looks like Pat Shurmur, the former head coach of the Giants and the Browns, an offensive corner for the Denver Broncos, who has been a quality control coach on the offensive side. Looks like they're moving him into the offensive coordinator's position and then sliding aside Sean Lewis. Now, keep in mind, Brady, that if they're going to do this, you've only got so many coaching slots that they're allowed to use. So Pat Shurmur, being a quality control coach, has not been coaching players. He's been like an analyst and helping out with game planning and film study and opponent scouting and all that kind of thing. And so what that would mean then is that somebody is going to have to be demoted, if you will. Now, I don't know who that would be. I wonder a little bit about Tim Brewster, maybe, who's been coaching tight ends, if they might move him to an analyst role or something. But at this point, that's unclear. But anyway, that's what the reports are out there. Sounds like we're going to have a little bit different offensive approach, if you will, coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's very interesting on this too, Mark, because most of the reports that I was reading came in across just like you said it. And then I saw one on ESPN that just said co-offensive coordinators. That is there? I mean, are they co-oping this at all, or is there any truth to that? Was from ESPN too.
Well, that's interesting, and yeah, maybe that is the case.
I don't know.
I haven't been on campus today. I was on campus yesterday, and I kind of got an inkling something was coming down, and I never quite got to the bottom of it. It just, the sense of things and what I was seeing when I was around the offices, so I don't know exactly what they've done, but that's interesting. That's I hadn't seen that report yet, so
yeah,
I suppose that's a possibility. But you know, those co-coordinator things are always really interesting to me, because normally a coordinator's got a way of wanting to approach things, and there's a way in which they call a game, and so I've never been quite clear how exactly those relationships worked out whether you have co-coordinators.
Yeah, that I've always thought this was weird. And again, like I said, Mark, most of the reports I read were saying exactly what you said. And then I saw this one like an hour ago. It was saying co-offensive coordinators. I mean, how does that work? Like, I call a series, you call a series, we take turns. I call every other play. I like that less than I like multiple than dual quarterback situation.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, think about it. If you're the guy that was the offensive coordinator. Now, it's one thing if that's the way the staff is constructed from the get-go. But in this case, let's say you're Sean Lewis, and all of a sudden they tell you you're going to be co-coordinators. Now, I can tell you this, that if Learfield Sports called me in and said, hey, for this basketball season, we're going to have co-play-by-play guys, I would look at that as a demotion on my part, because I've been doing it. And you've all of a sudden said, well, someone's going to come in and work along with you and share those responsibilities. But that's kind of an odd deal. And I don't exactly how the chemistry of that works, how the execution of that works is a little bit fuzzy to me, I guess.
Is this, this decision, I mean, we know how frustrated everybody was last week, Primetime especially, Coach Prime especially, when talking about the offensive line issues and just the sacks and all the pressure on Shador. I mean, that's got to be the thinking there, right? Is we got to find a way to construct an offense that's getting the ball out quicker, setting things up so defenses aren't just teeing off on Shador Sanders.
Well, I'm assuming so. With that being said, then you wonder, okay, is Bill O'Boyle involved in this, the offensive line coach, in some form or fashion? Because he's the guy that's been overseeing that. You know, the second thing is, I don't know how much quicker you want the ball to come out. I mean, Gary and I were talking about that during the early portions of the UCLA game. That ball was coming out unbelievably fast. I mean, there was generally nothing deep. It was all slants and hooks and curls and those kind of things. And so, little drop-down passes. So I don't know exactly how much quicker it's going to come out. Now, I would wonder if maybe they might start going with more, 12 or 22 personnel, and what that means for your listeners out there. When you hear somebody say 12 personnel football, that's one running back and two tight ends. 22 would be a running back, a fullback, and two tight ends. So you do wonder if maybe there's going to be some of that going on with this team. Keeping another guy in, one tight end, two tight ends, to help block a little bit, maybe give them the max protect. And then the question becomes, if that is the case, Brady, think of this. Now, Mikey Harrison's a tight end. He's listed as a tight end, but he's a glorified wide receiver, right? He transitioned over to tight end. He's not a big blocking tight end. That's not what he does. I mean, Mikey's about 6'2" and about 210, 15 pounds. And so when you think of guys that are going to help you out in the blocking game, you're thinking of 6'5", 250-pound guys. Now, they've got a couple of guys on the roster who we haven't seen a whole lot this season. Caleb Fourier, Christian Fourier's son, is on the team. There's a young man within Yelverton who's on the team. We haven't seen much other than special teams. And so, you know, there are some guys, and I just wonder if we're not going to maybe start seeing some of that to maybe help protection of Shedeur Sanders moving forward.
Yeah, and despite all of that, what's interesting, and you and I have had this discussion, Shedeur Sanders, I think, is an elite-style quarterback. And you look at the number. What does he have, Mark? 22 touchdowns. Is that second right now for most in a single season behind who we just heard from a moment ago in the rejoin with Cepho? So he might break that. We got, what, 4 games left? So he could break that. But despite all the pressure and lack of protection and stuff, Shador's put together a phenomenal season.
Well, he has. And you know, he's phenomenal under pressure. Somebody asked me what show was they doing. I guess it was on our flagship this morning. They said something about, you know, what do you want to see from Shedeur tomorrow? And I thought, well, that's kind of an odd question, number one. But number two, I want to see him standing on 2 feet. That's what I want to see from Shedeur Sanders. I want to see him actually not getting hit and knocked to the ground all the time, because as good as he has been under pressure, you know, what could he do? He's one of the top quarterbacks in America numbers-wise. What could he do if he actually had, you know, a great protection, you know, and wasn't running for his life half the time? And so that would be number one. Yeah, getting back to what you're just saying about Cepho's record, yeah, Shedeur's on pace to break that, the single-season passing record. I mean, he could obliterate, if he plays 2 years for the Colorado Buffaloes, could obliterate a lot of numbers at Colorado from a quarterback standpoint.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Big task coming up tomorrow night, of course, Oregon State. What more can you say about the job Jonathan Smith has done with this team? I mean, Oregon State, nope. I remember years ago when they came to Fort Collins and CSU beat them, and there were fans that were like, yeah, that's great, it's a Pac-12 win, but it's Oregon State. Now they're number 16. I mean, they are a feared football team.
Oh, they're a very good football team. And in what they do, they run kind of a pro-style offense. They run the ball very effectively. DJ Ungalale is a monster quarterback. He's 6'4", 250 pounds. Go back to that tight end I was talking about. He runs very well. He's got a nice arm. Their three running backs, all are 225-plus. They're stout. They run the ball effectively, about 190 yards per ball game. Defensively, there's nothing flashy about what they do defensively. They just play hard and they play physical. And so it's a very physical football game that we're going to see tomorrow night. I think Jonathan Smith has done a wonderful job with that program. And, you know, they deserve all the recognition they're getting right now, considering what's going on with the Pac-12 and where they're sitting at this point.
So, Mark, is that the obvious one? You know, what do the Buffs need to do to win this game? I mean, protect Shedeur Sanders? I mean, that's got to be point number one, right?
Yeah, protect Shedeur. At least have the threat of running the football. And I, you know, if the Pat, and again, we're speculating on this. If the Pat Shurmur thing is true, at least commit to the run and make the defense at least have to think about it, for goodness sakes. You want those linebackers just to hesitate for a split second, right? Are they running? Okay, they're not. They're passing. I can rush. And you want them to just at least have that a little bit out there. So if they can protect Shedeur, have the threat of run, and then defensively they're going to have to stop the run tomorrow, because that's what Oregon State does. So those will be kind of the three things I'll be watching tomorrow for the Buffaloes.
Mark, what time do you get rocking and rolling tomorrow with your broadcast?
To the Coach Prime favorite, 8 p.m. kickoff, or just after 8 o'clock. And so we'll hit the air at 6 o'clock with the Buffalo Stampede pregame show. We've got on Duane Field, so come by and say hi at FanFest. And we don't have Gary with us tomorrow. Gary's under the weather right now. So called me a couple of days ago, and he's going to miss this weekend. And so I actually called our good friend and former Buff great and Broncos Super Bowl champion Tyler Palumbus. He's going to jump in and do the game with me tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. And, Mark, I'm going to be doing the pre-pregame show before you guys, so I'll be happy to hand that off to you, man. So we're going to have a big one tomorrow night.
Hey, listen, you're the lead-in then. Give me some good ratings, will you, please? Don't screw that up.
I was going to start with knock-knock jokes. That'll get a hit, right? What do you think?
Okay, all right. As soon as you're done with your show, I want you to sit down by yourself in a room and reconsider that idea, all right?
I will. Get the bad ideas out first. Good ideas come second. Mark, appreciate you, man. We'll be tuning in, of course, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. See you, buddy.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. So there you go. Pat Shurmur, we all know how good he was with the Broncos, right? Trying to throw incompletions, trying to do that. But now he's going to be a co-offensive coordinator with Sean Lewis, co-people. Yeah, co-managers. You remember how well that worked in The Office with Michael Scott and Jim?
Big picture, little picture.
Big picture, little picture. So how does that work? Like, I'm going to call run. And then Pat goes, yeah, but I kind of want to do a pass. And then Sean goes, okay, let's do that. You know, whatever. How does that work? How does co-offensive coordinator work? And that's what the Patriots did, didn't they, last year?
Yeah, the Dolphins did a few years ago, too. Said they had three.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
Who calls the plays?
No one. It's, hey, I like this play. What do you think? Oh, I like this play. What do you think? I don't like it. Okay, go back to stop.
And then you got 2 seconds left on the play clock.
I did appreciate his attempt to pronounce DJ's last name.
Who?
The quarterback for Oregon State.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought Tagovailoa was tough, but Uiagalelei is way more.
How do you know these names?
Watch college football.
Yeah, but you know, like, that name specifically. Well, you watched a lot of Oregon State football?
No, it was just a name that really stuck out to me a few years ago when he was a freshman just coming on the scene. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of letters. How do you say it? And it's Uiagalelei.
I just like to call him
DJU.
DJU. That's what I like to call him. He's freaking good. Good game against Arizona, even though they lost that game. They lost it 27-24.
Well, Prime likes its prime time.
How good is Oregon State after that loss?
I made a joke that the Buffs may be a little faster without all that jewelry on.
Well, did they get reimbursed? We don't know. If they got reimbursed, they might have it
right
back.
They have all the money in the world over at CU.
This is a weird deal to me to make this change. You got, what, 4 games left. Maybe that's a sign of the Buffs feeling the pressure that they... You got to win two. You got to win two at least, and that satisfies kind of my expectations. I know Extreme Buffs fans are like, I don't know how we lost any games. But the reality of the situation was coming into the season, the Buffs, to me, were a 5-6 win team, and that is still in front of them. And they've got a big opportunity against the Beavers coming up this weekend. All right, Angel. I went under 500 last week in the picks. I am sitting at 22-25. Yeah, that's not good. Not good. I have plenty of opportunities to get over the 500 mark. We're going to do it this week. We're going undefeated. I'm picking that I'm going to go undefeated. Will that count if I don't? 47 after the hour. The picks are coming up next.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.